Well, feel good about yourselves. This is the Young People's Address. So, do you qualify? Well,
enjoy the moment then.
No, because our youngsters are not able to be with us at the moment. And so we'll do an address because Alan will be putting it up on the internet. I can put my tie mic away because I won't be having to look to the left, and we get lots of sound, you see, when we do that, because it gets complicated. Unidirectional microphones, you look that way too much, you get fade, and the recording doesn't come out so well. There's your preamble. But we've been looking, haven't we, at big events. Big events. And the Bible has big events. Well, it is all one big event, isn't it, in its sense there, from beginning to the end. But we saw last time that the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is the biggest of big events. And it had been promised right through the Old Testament, right from the beginning, and indeed before the beginning of our time in history, that Christ would come into the world to bear the sin of his people, was there in the plan of God. And then it happened. I know we've had Christmas, we've thought about the incarnation, God coming in the flesh, but you have to talk about Christmas every day, really, in the Christian faith, because his coming into the world, well, if he hadn't come into the world, he couldn't have done any of the things that he did when he was in the world. The living he did, the dying he did, the rising that he did, the ascending that he did, and the returning one day that he will do. So his coming is an important part of all, the promise of God. And, well, we've seen, and the Old Testament, guess reading Amos before the service, and wow, how much failure. The prophets are always having to address failure. And you look at the Israelites in the wilderness, failure. Can anybody live properly, in a holy fashion, perfectly, and fulfill the law of God? Well, nobody could be found amongst God's favoured people who could. And all the sacrifices were given precisely for that reason, that they couldn't. And they were going to fail. And they were going to need to offer, really on their own behalf, their own blood. But God, in his mercy, allowed an animal to stand in the place of actual people. And it went on. And it went on. And they went into exile, first the northern kingdom, then the southern kingdom. Failure, failure, failure. Can anybody live properly, righteously, before God? Ah, yes. Somebody comes into the world, fully, fully human. Fully, fully human. Oh, the birth and everything about the birth, that this was not some appearance somehow without all that is involved in childbirth. No. Fully human, having been 9 months in the womb, and, well, extraordinary conception. It was not in the normal way that, because he was kept away from our sinful race. This was a pure human being. Came into the world. And he lived. He lived as his coming had suggested he would be, given that he was preserved from sin. He lived sinlessly. And that isn't just to say things negatively. That's to say things very positively. He loved God. And he loved his neighbour. And there was in him, and the way that he treated people, something so, so remarkable, holy, loving, forgiving, merciful, strong, courageous. It was everything. And nobody, not even his fiercest critics and bitterest opponents, could speak anything against him. And so he lived. And it was a full human life. Felt things. Was moved by things, wept over things, was needing to sleep and needing to eat. Extraordinary. But here it is. What we couldn't find anywhere else, we find now in this person. Real, functioning, true, authentic human being. Likes a witch. Never been seen before. Ah, of course, if he's a human, he can die. He can die. He's got a body that can be put to death and die. And we needed that, didn't we? Because all those sacrifices were telling us that the wages of sin is death. God gave his people a temporary solution. but it wasn't the permanent solution, because an animal is not a human being. And an animal cannot properly represent the guilt, the shame, the unbelief that is the sinner's unbelief. But if he dies, and he did, of course, didn't he, then that answers that. We've had a person, a real human being, who lived in a way we couldn't, and then gave that perfection on the cross to be able to be an atonement for sin. Not his own, because he had none, but it could be for other people. But then we think, don't we, how great God is. God is great and greatly to be praised. And his law is greatly to be revered and to be honoured. And it's been broken. Can a human being standing alone, even though a perfect human being, properly make atonement before a holy God? Doesn't it need somebody a bit more than that? Somebody very much higher dignity, status, and authority to properly remedy the breaking of God's law, human law, God's law, of the ultimate lawgiver. And come to that, how could one person be able to make their life a ransom for many, many people? Millions upon millions of people. Can one man alone accomplish that? Then, of course, he's God, isn't he? He's the Son of God. But here in the miracle of the incarnation, God coming in the flesh, we got both man and God. And it answers everything. Oh, this is the big event, isn't it? Promise through the Old Testament, prophets foreseeing it, the law, well, what we couldn't do, he did. And the sacrifices that had to be repeated endlessly, finished now, because the one necessary sacrifice of the God-man, bringing true humanity, but with the worth and the dignity and the power and the glory of his divinity into that sacrifice. So there's the big event, and we'll just talk a little bit more about that big event. We preach about the big event, don't we? Every Lord's Day, in a sense, and we think about it every day of the week. But we always keep in mind, so the whole thing is leading to him, and that he is the source of all our hope. There is no good news apart from preaching Christ, and that's our joyful task, isn't it? Every Lord's Day for preachers, and I hope for listeners to be able to hear good news. It is good news, and it's good news for young people who are listening, and honorary, temporary young people that we have before us here, before my gaze. We have younger people there. Let them ban an alien on that one there, won't we? But honorary young people that, well, we all are there, needing to hear these things and believe these things for ourselves, be reminded of them week by week.